may be seated. The sermon this morning is from Amos chapter 4. Please join me there. Amos chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring now that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness. Behold, the days are coming upon you when they will take you away with meat hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks. You will go out through breaches in the walls, each one straight before her, and you will be cast to Harmon, declares the Lord. Enter Bethel and transgress. In Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a thank offering also from that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings. Make them known. For so you love to do, you sons of Israel, declares the Lord God. But I gave you also cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and a lack of bread in all your palaces. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but you would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I smote you with scorching wind and mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens and vineyards, fig trees and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, along with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from the blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, he who makes dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord of hosts is his name. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now to understand you, to understand your character and your word, that you will be glorified as we think rightly about you and as we return to you, for you and for your name's sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Amos chapter 4, we see a strikingly dark picture. And yet, if for those of us who have read clear through the scriptures, we see a consistency in the character of God and what he has laid before the people. And as he's described to them, these are the things that I have done to you. I have placed these things on you, these burdens and these trials and these hardships and these pains, this death and this famine and plague, we look back in Scripture, if we look back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we would see that God had warned the people long ago, if you won't follow me, if you won't love me, if you will not embrace my word, this is what's going to happen to you. There's going to be plague. And there's going to be devastation. There's going to be ruin. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be all of this hardship upon you. And he's warned them all along and said, but if through this, if you will return to me, if you will return to me, if you will seek me with all your heart and with all your soul, I will heal you. I will embrace you. And here he says, look, I told you, I placed it before you, I did exactly what I said I would do to you, and you haven't returned. You haven't returned. And we look at our lives and we see famine in our own lives. We find ourselves dried up and we find ourselves parched. We look around and we see other people getting rain and we'd want to run to them and say, can I have what you have? Can you nourish me? Can you strengthen me? Can you give me some hope? And sometimes we run to other people and we run to other people and we run to other people until we exhaust ourselves and we exhaust them. But here, he's given the clear picture all along is to just come to me. Come to me. Is this a cruel God? A God of life who says, come to me. If you're running towards death and he makes the pathway of death harder and uglier, is that cruel? No. But that's loving. He says, return. Return to me. What do we return to? Do we return to a formalism? Do we return to just simple religious acts? No. But it's him. It's him. As he said, you were the one that I snatched from the fire like a firebrand. There's a focus there and an emphasis there on who he is and what he has done and on your great salvation. And so from that place, we, in our tensions and our pains, we turn to peace and we find peace in grace. Peace in grace and peace in repentance. And so when you find yourself then relying on grace, when you find yourself as a person of repentance, you're with him. That's what it is. You've returned to him. And that is the place of blessing. So in your tensions, find your peace in grace and repentance is the call this morning. For our first step. Our first step is be humbled by the word. Amos 4:1. Hear this word. What was it like to have a prophet stand up? Sometimes I imagine it was exciting. Sometimes I imagine it was terrifying. I imagine a man standing up on the wall of the city in his cloak and with his staff and just shouting, hear this word. And I wonder how the people responded. Was it like us? Did we sit and we pinch ourselves to stay awake? Were they eager to hear? Did they just ignore him? What is it to hear the word? Can you imagine a man speaking specifically from God with a message specifically to you, catered directly to you? Well, I hope you can. I hope you can imagine that. I hope you know that. Because a word comes to you constantly. A word comes to you every week. From a God who loves you and is indeed concerned about you and has given you people to teach you and to think about you and to pray for you and to bring you a word catered to you every week for you to hear, for you to be directed in accordance with truth. So we see the hearts of the people here. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. And he starts speaking as if he's only speaking to the women there. He's calling the women here, you cows. You cows of Bashan who shout to your husband, bring me another drink of wine. You just lay around and you just bully the situations. You bully the world around you. But here, what is being brought, we're not to be these bullying beasts that are pushing through life. As the pains come upon us, it's not as if we're just to lower our shoulder and push through the pain and keep going the direction we're going. But he's displaying here and he's teaching here that this pain that's coming upon you is to make you stop. To stop the direction you're going. The pain that's upon you is to drive you to your knees and to return to Him. To say you're good and you've been right all along. We see the pain in our lives and we know that the pain in our lives is the result of sin. The result of Adam's sin when pain and misery came into the world, or it's the result of our own sin and us not responding appropriately to the pains that we face or His Word, or our pain is the result of other people's sins. Sometimes even the members of our own household. And what is the response to sin? But it's turn to see what God says about it. To turn to His Word. And to respond appropriately. See, part of what we do, we look to see where the pains that we face push us. In verses 6 through 11, God's saying, look, here's what I gave you. But I gave you cleanness of teeth. That means I didn't give you enough food to even make your teeth dirty. I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me. Well, where did they go? In your pain, if it's not turning to Christ, where do you go? Do we go to our own misery and make an idol out of our own misery? Do we go to our own pain and make an idol out of our own pain? Furthermore, I withheld rain from you while there were still 3 months until the harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water. But you would not be satisfied. Yet, you have not returned to me. And as we look at this, it gets more and more drastic. It gets more and more terrifying. Saying that your walls will even be knocked down. The walls that protect you. For some of us, that doesn't seem like a real big deal, maybe. But we're talking about walls that were keeping wickedness and destruction and evil out. And saying, you'll be brought then with meat hooks to take you out. The last of you with fish hooks. See, the enemies of that day, the ones who were going to be coming for them, they would put rings in their captives' noses and tie ropes to them. And you'd have a trail of your brothers and sisters being pulled along with rings in their noses, or put hooks through their cheeks and pull them along. He's saying, this is going to get worse. This is going to get worse and worse and worse if you will not return to me. See, sin is, we treat it like a playground. We imagine it's a playground. We imagine we're on the merry-go-round and we're on the swings. And it's not a big deal. Oh, but we see here, it is. It is a big deal. Now in verse 2, the Lord has sworn by His holiness. Now this idea of God's holiness, we look at Him and see the ways that He's acted. We see the ways He's treated Israel. We see the ways He's treated other nations. We see the direction our own nation is going with the murders in the street. So how do we see Him? Or how do we imagine Him? Do we imagine Him as a harsh bully? Well, He is harsh. And He certainly will have His own way. He will do His thing and He will not be dissuaded from it. There will be justice. And yet, His holiness is this beautiful picture of Him being perfectly right and clearly right. The things that were not denied because He's cruel, but we're denied them because they will indeed destroy us. See, His holiness is this light of perfection that He shines for you. Would you choose something else? Would you choose something other than the light of perfection? You see, He is the perfect one, carefully giving you exactly what you need. Can you see that? Can you see that? Out of the pains that we have. The pains that we have from our parents. The pains that we've experienced from our spouses. The pains from our children. The pains from our co-workers. All of these things are exactly what you need. And we can be certain of that because of His holiness. He doesn't do the wrong thing. He's not unnecessarily harsh. He has to be harsh. We run around like stupid animals, like beasts, rejecting what He says. But in His holiness, He gives exactly what we need. And this is a mark of humility for us. As we would look at ourselves and say, why this? Why me? Why would you do this to me? Why would you inflict this upon me? And the answer is, that's what you needed. That's what you needed. Now that should be a mark of humility. You had to give me parents like that? You had to give me a spouse like that? Children like this? A boss like this? Car that does this? Professors like this? A school like this? That's what you needed. You have to afflict me with this temptation? To get my attention? You see, he's not this bully running around with a giant club, but he's an intricate surgeon. And those things we face are the things we have to face. Those things in His holiness to get our attention. Now our third step. Expect sorrows to escalate if you will not be refined. Verse 2. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness, behold, the days are coming upon you when they will take you away with meat hooks and the last of you with fish hooks. I remember reading that and thinking, that doesn't sound like fish hooks. That sounds silly. What is that? Until I remember people getting caught with fish hooks. It's a painful thing. It's a dreadful thing. It's a horrible thing. Imagine being marched along by fish hooks. Verse 3, you will go out through breaches in the walls, each one straight before her, and you will be cast to Harmon, declares the Lord. See, you may not continue in paths of destruction. You can't. You can't do it without consequences. You can't do it without the pain escalating. So our next move, fill your life with grace. Now we see in verse 1 the people's responses. We have the wives being described as these cows who shout to their husbands, bring me another drink. And here we have a picture of people just lavishing delightful things upon them, and their response to the pain is to try to numb themselves with drink. Numbing doesn't work. Something just covers up what's really there. See, when they give you that shot that numbs you, it doesn't stop pain, doesn't stop the destruction from going on. When people drink alcohol to numb themselves, they're not changing the circumstances of their lives to imagine that they're no longer in pain. The things that we would give ourselves to spare us of our pains and our miseries, there's no rescue there. There's no deliverance there. It's just marching towards destruction with our fingers in our ears. You see, this calls us to repentance. This calls us to Him. And He spoke clearly about who we are. In verse 11, you were like a firebrand snatched from the blaze. I used to look at that and think, I wish He said something else other than a firebrand, because a firebrand doesn't get burned up. But you know, in hell, you don't get burned up. Firebrand would just stay in there and stay in there and stay in there and stay in there and stay in the blaze. You were pulled from that. You were pulled from that. You were rescued from that destruction. And how? Christ took that white hot wrath for you. See, and we were saved for this purpose, that we would glorify Him by loving Him and enjoying Him forever. So rather than wrath, we get delight. Rather than death and destruction, we get life and we get eternity. And He sets before us true life. True blessing, true joy. So the question is, and the question that you must look at and answer for yourselves, is what are you holding on to rather than life? What do you imagine is sweeter? Is it your pride? Is it some form of visual stimulation or self-gratification? What could be sweeter? An eternal life with Christ now. Sweeter than grace. Sweeter than repentance. Sweeter than being near to Him. So the call, in these tensions and in these pains and in this discipline, go to grace. Go to repentance. Find there your joy. Find there your peace. Pray with me. Our Father, as we look at the ways that our fathers of the past have walked, God, give us hearts to turn from our sin, that we would see the reality of them and the darkness of them, so that we will indeed embrace life and embrace truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is...